Amen. Each week when I'm getting ready to prepare a sermon, I find that I'm looking for something, some nugget, something original, something I can share with all of you. And sometimes it's as clear as day, and I don't have to do much searching or thinking about what the message should be. And other times it's really obscure and it takes a long time. And then there are times when I think I found it, and then upon further reflection, I realize I need to keep searching. This week was one of those third times. When I read over the passage, I immediately had a vivid memory of the first time I encountered this as a preacher. And I remember that I had to preach on this in Memorial Church for my preaching seminar. And I remember preparing it, how I would wander in the upstairs bedroom of our house in Massachusetts and wander into the study. And I would just preach this over and over and over again until I got it down to where I wanted it to be. One of the pieces of advice I remembered through all of this was from my preaching professor, Peter Gomes, and he was really clear that we should try to make the story come alive for our congregations. We should try to help you envision yourself being in their midst, make you feel that you were part of the community getting healed that day. And this passage would give a lot to do that. So, you know, I could invite you to see yourself part of the crowd gathered outside of Simon Peter's house, or perhaps even to see yourselves inside. But the more I thought about it, I realized that wasn't what I was called to say today on this fifth Sunday of Epiphany Tide. Instead, I felt called to examine this question about what we're looking for. And at different points in our lives, we're each looking for something, and we might be looking for multiple things. We can be looking for the right job or career. We can be looking for the right romantic partner. We could be looking for the right community to live in. Sometimes we look in the wrong places, and sometimes we're blessed and we find what we need right before us. This story tells us something about searching for God, which is something that many of the faithful in our tradition and other traditions do throughout their lives. We can all appreciate the cartoon motif of the guy who's climbing up a mountain looking for a guru who could give him all the answers to everything he needs to know. And of course, he finds the woman up there, and she has some kind of cryptic Zen message to share. We might think of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe books and how the answer to life, the universe, and everything is 42. But the truth is that we may not find what we're looking for, because we might think that we're looking for God, but instead we might be looking for the things that we believe are going to offer us the fulfillment and meaning in life. And this passage is really interesting because it tells us that God is going to come looking for us. We remember that Jesus was God in love incarnate, and he showed up at the home of Simon's mother. And we don't know what her name was. We don't know if she had any kind of special role in the community. But Jesus didn't care. Jesus healed her. And then Simon and the other disciples seem to have this bright idea that they know what Jesus needs to do next, that they are going to manage his career, and they're going to help him get followers and become famous. And if we take a moment to really look at this passage carefully and where it's located in Mark's gospel, that's a pretty amusing notion, because this is in the first chapter of Mark. And just a few verses earlier, Jesus had called these disciples to follow him. And so the idea that these fishermen would be some kind of marketing savants or religious professionals who would know how to share Jesus' message beggars belief. And Jesus tells them, when he's praying alone, that he doesn't want to follow their plan. Instead, Jesus tells them he's going to go to the next community to heal people there. And we see something interesting because Jesus is going to go out and look for the people of no position in the community, of the taxpayers, of the prostitutes, of the people who are often left out of things. And those are the people that he's going to bring his love and his healing power and his grace to. We can think about our own lives, and we can think about how Jesus comes to meet us. And we can think about the opportunities we have to meet Jesus. We can do it in church when the love of God is reflected in our fellow congregants. We can do it at the communion table. And what are you looking for when you come to the communion table, whether in the sanctuary or in the place where you're worshiping this morning? Are you looking for bread and wine or juice? And when you look for those elements, what are you hoping will happen? In other traditions of Christianity, there's a belief that those elements are transubstantiated, that they become the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's not what we believe. That's not what we teach. And we see communion as more of a memorial of what Jesus did. That doesn't make it any less important and any less holy. And we remember that Jesus gave his disciples this meal on his last night, his Last Supper. And even though Jesus knew that he was going to be having a final confrontation with the religious and civil authorities, he was concerned about his followers, and he wanted them to have the gift of the bread and the cup. Jesus brought his love and his grace and his salvation to humanity. And he did it 2,000 years ago, and he does it again today. So I'm not sure what you might be looking for. I do hope that we will all have open eyes and open ears and open hearts. It's possible for us to turn away from God, who might well be looking for us at this very moment. So when God comes knocking on our doors, let's answer and let's let him in. And let's remember that God has come to find us because he loves us. And that's one of the reasons this passage is chosen for Epiphanytide. This is a season of things being revealed. And here is God being revealed. My hope and my prayer is that we will all have open hearts when we come to share communion in a short while, and that we will continue to have those hearts in days and weeks and months and years ahead.